Office at St. Martin's United Church in Saskatoon. I grew up in that church. And I was thinking of becoming a United Church minister. Then I took a class in world religions and in philosophy. I started to ask myself questions, kind of like Bear was doing. How could a loving God create such a place as hell? Since Jesus was Jewish, and Jews believe that God is one, how could Jesus be part of a Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I go and talk to my United Church minister, and I share from the heart my concerns about these questions. He looks at me, and instead of saying, "Well, I guess it's time for you to leave." The United Church is a liberal faith. And he says to me, "You may want to check out the Unitarians." He meant it as a compliment. He said, if anything happened to the United Church, that's where I'd go. So I knew I actually had been in a church with a Unitarian Christian as my minister. The spectrum in the United Church is broad. I was so grateful to him to have support in my spiritual growth. A few years later, I did check out the Unitarians. That's a story for another service. I found my spiritual home, a place where I could ask those questions, a place that believed in freedom of religious thought. We affirm the principle, the acceptance of one another, and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. So how do we do that acceptance and support and encouragement when we each draw from different sources? How can I belong when what I believe isn't necessarily what you believe? I'd like to propose some ideas and methods that may help us with that question, and I look forward to hearing what works for you. As Unitarians, we believe that each person has that right to choose what they believe in and what sources to turn to for inspiration. For those who may be new to us, or if you didn't know, in the front of the gray hymnal, about page 10, not by numbers, but by pages, we list the principles and purposes. In that case, it's the Unitarian Universalist Association, and they are the same with some added U's in neighbor for the Canadian Unitarian Council. We promote these same principles and sources. I'm going to read them out, and I invite you, if you draw on one of those sources for your inspiration, if you're willing and able, just to put your hand up. The living tradition which we share draws from many sources. Direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. Words and deeds of prophetic women and men, which challenge us to confront powers and structures of evil with justice, compassion, and the transforming power of love. Wisdom from the world religions, which inspires us in our ethical and spiritual lives. Jewish and Christian teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. humanist teachings which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science, and warn us against idolatries of the mind and spirit. Spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions, which celebrate the sacred circle of life and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. And in another service, we'll talk about all the other sources that aren't listed here that you may draw from, and I know I do. Now, if you're looking in that gray hymnal, there's another paragraph, which we often overlook. Grateful for the religious pluralism which enriches and ennobles our faith, we are inspired to deepen our understanding and expand our vision. As free congregations, we enter into this covenant, promising to one another our mutual trust and support. This is what we aspire to do, to accept and support one another, to grow and learn, and it's not always easy to do. We want to be tolerant of each other's points of view, and there are times when there'll be tension between the differences. What are we comfortable sharing with each other about our beliefs or our philosophies? And what are we not? What can hinder us from truly sharing our beliefs with one another? What are we afraid of? What experiences have we had? And what helps us to feel confident to share our views so we not only are heard, but perhaps can learn from one another, especially over those differences? When I left the United Church, I found myself reacting to some Christian references. One example, a few years after the conversation with my minister, I was living in Montreal, and I went to a Catholic Christmas Eve service at the Notre Dame Basilica. I don't know if anybody's been to it. It's magnificent. And the music, the incense, the candles, the stained glass and the vaulted ceilings that are painted almost like Easter eggs is what I thought of at the time. Beautiful. I felt uplifted and connected. And when it came time for communion, as someone baptized in the United Church, I could have participated. And I felt uncomfortable in my body. I thought, well, those aren't my beliefs anymore. It's not my ritual. And I didn't know what to do with that discomfort. So I left. As some years go by, I noticed that that reactivity that I had continued. So I started to try and just get curious. Why was I being reactive to Christian ritual when I could sit through Buddhist meditation, a Hindu ritual, Sikh scriptural readings, Jewish practice? But that discomfort bothered me. I realized that I hadn't actually unpacked my religious baggage from growing up. I hadn't unpacked the baggage that comes from in this culture where it's the dominant religion in the dominant culture. And so things that have been done in the name of religion by practitioners of Christianity, instead, that baggage gets attached to that particular religion. Now, I know from talking to Unitarians in various congregations across the country that I'm not alone in having some of those reactions. For people who've come out of bad experiences in Christian communities, I can understand pain is there, anger and frustration. It includes those who went to residential schools or whose relatives did. Others pointed out to me in conversation those things that were done in the name of the Christian church over millennia that were harmful. Others just said they didn't believe in the Christian creeds and didn't want others telling them what to believe. It was in that reactivity at times I found it's like taking a paintbrush and painting a religion all the same color and not seeing the complexity and the nuance. And I did it too. And I understand my reactivity. And I didn't want to continue being reactive. I spoke to people in our congregations who draw on Christianity as one of their major sources. And I heard the pain that they experience when they hear people's comments about Christianity, negative comments, and jokes that are intended to just to be funny, but actually make them feel excluded, not seen. They wondered if there was a place for them in our Unitarian communities. And that made me feel so sad. Someone said to me, "How can that happen when we say we believe in freedom of religious thought?" And I'd say, because we're human. And we need to support one another to unpack our baggage, whether it's about religion, politics, sexual orientation, gender identity, culture, income differences. That's why we're together. For my own sake, I knew I valued some things very important to me from my Christian heritage. And I wanted to understand, how did it come from there to these other things that were negative? I know there's positive things too that have been done in the name of the Christian churches. So because I was thinking of becoming a Unitarian minister, I thought, well, I need to go and ask those questions. So I did a Master's of Religious Studies at the University of British Columbia to look in the history of Christianity and how it developed those beliefs and thoughts and practices. And then I went on to train for Unitarian ministry. I came to understand more. And what I noticed was how the path in the development of Unitarianism, particularly in North America, but other parts of the world, in some ways mirrored my own path. For anyone who is new, I'm going to just in a few minutes try and describe some of that change. Unitarians have been struggling with religious tension from the very beginning. Tension with outside groups as well as within. Now, tension isn't a bad thing if it's engaged creatively. It can often result in growth and learning. But when it's responded to aggressively, unconsciously, it can have impact that's lasting. When it's engaged mindfully, with curiosity, with respect for others' rights to choose, based on their life experience and understanding, it can result in growth and compassion and community. Unitarian Universalism were two movements that developed in Europe in the 16th century during the time of changes in Christianity. One man, Michael Servetus, believed in the unity of God, not the Trinity. That's how we got the name Unitarian. The Protestant leader, however, Calvin, didn't agree with Servetus' point of view and had him burned at the stake in Geneva in 1553. And that violent murder over theological difference shocked other Protestant reformers. And they were encouraged to consider how important it is to tolerate different points of view. Out of that then emerged the Unitarians, believing that we have the right to choose our beliefs while being together in supportive community. Later, in here in North America, Ralph Waldo Emerson wondered, is it just Christianity we draw from? His aunt, who was very well versed in Eastern religions, taught him. And Emerson concluded that it was up to the individual and their own encounter with the holy that would lead to truth. And transcendentalism developed and impacted Unitarians. Later in the mid-1800s, in the Western United States, the language around Christian language and other broader references to the good, capital G, helped in that free religion movement to further expand the sources we drew on. It wasn't without tension, it wasn't without argument, and people splitting off, but it did begin to create change. When humanism then, that had started early in the 1900s, really flourished in Unitarianism in the 1930s and the following decades, it was a response to the two world wars that contributed to that diminishing belief in a supernatural God who would intervene in human history. How could a loving God allow such atrocities to happen? Many religious liberals were disillusioned and found it difficult to understand, and so rejected what's really that majority classical understanding of Christianity, of God as the one who judges human behavior and punishes wrongdoers by sending them to hell, a God that accepts only Christians as having found the right way. Instead, Unitarians searched to find ways of developing other language. Process theology developed, understanding the process of the universe as the creative bounty that is continuing to grow and change over time. Into the 1970s and 80s, with the advent of feminism and the environmental movement, there was interest as well in looking back to the role of the female wisdom and the goddess movements in ancient cultures. Wiccan traditions and pagan meaning referring to people of the countryside, their religion. Indigenous spiritual practices and beliefs, eco-spirituality, these all grew and started to feed Unitarianism as well. In all of these sources that we draw from, how do I acknowledge my own and feel confident in them and be able to share them with you? And how can I hear you so when you have a different perspective, I don't have to get reactive? I don't need to challenge you to think like me. I can hear you for your experience, your wisdom, because at the bottom, our principles support us all. Words are powerful tools. They can be used as weapons. They can be used to foster communication and connection. Henry Nelson Wyman, who was a Unitarian minister, wrote up in the mid-1900s about something he called creative interchange between two people. He says, and I will say here, just pause for a moment, October 21st is the federal election. So I'm going to invite you to think not just of this, but as you have conversations about politics as well as religion, is to keep the creative interchange principles in mind. Because I'll tell you, just as broadly, I think it was the startup workshop that we had at the end of August, we created a line for those people who were there, 25 people from this community. And I said, anyone for whom God or a higher power is a meaningful concept in your life that's at work, stand at this end. And anyone for whom that isn't a useful concept and you understand the world without that kind of a deity, stand over there. And we had people from this end all the way through to that one. So the political spectrum is the same. We have people in our communities who are conservative all the way to progressive. And just as Christians often won't speak up within our ranks, nor will the conservatives, for fear of being pounced on. And I will say I have pounced too. I'm learning too. So keeping in mind these creative interchange parts, four parts. The exchange between two people, there emerges an awareness of what the other person is actually trying to communicate. There's an integrating of that new meaning that you're hearing into your own. And because of this, there comes an expanded appreciation of the world. You are transformed by that interchange. In the fourth, there is a widening and a deepening community among participants in this creative event. Wyman speaks about the benefits of this transformation. I think those benefits are part of the answer to the question, how can I belong when what I believe isn't what you believe? I benefit from that creative interchange with you and you with each other by being opened, by learning, by questioning my own thoughts and perceptions, and by growing together. None of us has the same life experience. When I think of my own life experience now, I also see it in a different way. Creative interchange is what Unitarian Universalist communities is all about. And it's a practice. And it takes practice. Sometimes we're going to get it right. Sometimes I'm going to think, why did I put my foot in my mouth again? Clumsiness is a sign of learning. I'm going to close with this. September's theme is belonging. When I've been meeting with small groups this month, like I mentioned, the two Sunday after Sunday services, October 13th and 27th, I've met three groups so far. And I ask them, what drew you to Beacon? And what do you value about it? Many people said it's the authentic community. Being accepted for who you are. Common values. Being with people who will care for you when you need it. How can we be in that creative interchange, expanding our circles of belonging? It'll take practice. It'll take work to go within and unpack our baggage, and I'm here to help. It will take time and commitment. And I believe this community can do it. Let us all be welcome here. So might it be. Amen.